Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever stopped to wonder just how many questions Jesus must have been asked over the course of his ministry? I don't think anyone has ever tried to count, but it's got to be a lot. People were coming to him from all over with questions. In last week's gospel, there was a question about divorce. A couple weeks ago, it was a request for healing. The Pharisees asked Jesus many questions, most of them for the purpose of trapping him in his words so that either the crowd would lynch him or the Romans would crucify him. But then there were some who came to him with genuine questions seeking clarification. Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3, was looking for answers. He left with a lot to think about, though it wasn't until much later that his questions and their answers bore fruit within him. And then we come to today's gospel reading, the rich young man who asks Jesus a very simple question with a very complex answer. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The rich young man, if you listen to the question more closely, you realize it's a non-question, or it's a non-answer. He wants to do everything for himself. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Greek here, kleronomeo, means to inherit, to acquire, to receive, to share. The idea is that you are receiving something. Think of it in terms of inheritance. What do you actually do to inherit something? The simple, callous answer is you wait for them to die. That's what you do to inherit anything. In other words, there's nothing to do to inherit. So this is a false question. There is no answer, and yet Jesus takes the time to answer him. First, in answering the question, he says that he to keep the commandments. You know the commandments: do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. So in simple terms, he tells him exactly what he must do to inherit eternal life. A law question demands a law answer. How do you inherit eternal life, or how do you do for yourself to earn eternal life? Keep the law perfectly. Now, if you actually look at the Ten Commandments, you know just how impossible it is to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly every moment of every day of every year of your life. Jesus, in fact, makes the commandments even stricter. It's not enough to just follow the law to not murder or to steal or to commit adultery or and so on. It's not enough to not commit the act. It is also about the heart. It is also about the words, the thoughts. Everything you do is against the Ten Commandments. It's not enough to just not kill someone. You can't hate them either. I may not have killed my brother, but there were at least a couple times that I kind of wanted to. It's not enough to not steal. You can't covet either. It's the desire, not just the act. It's not enough to not commit adultery. You can't lust either. You can't just follow the law with your actions. You also have to control your tongue, your mind, your hearts. In James chapter 3, James warns, no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. If you think you can keep the Ten Commandments with your tongue, just get stuck in Chicago traffic for 5 hours. You're probably going to break at least one of them. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus says, "From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." I think that was 13. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. From the heart comes evil and sin. How can you keep the law perfectly with your actions, your tongue, your heart, your mind? How is that even possible? And yet, that isn't enough for this young man. He says, yeah, I've done it all. Oh, I've got it covered. All these I have kept from my youth. He's already got it covered. He's looking for something more. What more is there for me to do? I'm already good. How do I be great? And from the world's perspective, this rich young man, he was good. From the world's perspective, having wealth was a sign of God's favor. Not, honestly, not all that much different from today. The idea that if you have wealth, then God has blessed you. From the world's perspective, he was already good because he knew the scriptures, he attended the synagogue regularly. From the world's perspective, if anyone was going to earn or inherit eternal life, it was him. So he thinks that he's doing just fine. But now he wants some big, flashy display. He wants to do more than just keep the law perfectly with his actions and everything to inherit eternal life. He wants more. When simply keeping the law is not enough to satisfy him, Jesus tells him to sell everything, give to the poor, and then follow him. And this is a bridge too far for this young man. He has great wealth and possessions, and he is unwilling to give them up for the sake of Christ. At that moment, the rich young man is left disappointed. His wealth, his power, his actions, it's not enough to save him. So perhaps the right question here isn't, what must I do? Perhaps the better question is, what can I do? According to Jesus, and according to Jesus' strict reading of the law, what hope is there for us? The short answer is, there's nothing that we can do. Nothing we do makes us inherit eternal life. You are a poor, miserable sinner, as we state in our confession of sin before the divine service. We sin in thought, word, and deed. We cannot keep the Ten Commandments perfectly in thought, word, and deed. Whatever you can do, just plain is not enough to receive eternal life by your own actions. There is no balancing the scale. If you sin once, that is enough to condemn. And so, what does this mean for us? Do we have to give up everything to follow Jesus? The law answer to that question would be yes. Whatever it is that you fear, love, and trust in instead of Jesus, that is what you have to give up. A God, as we understand it, a God is anything in which you put your ultimate trust and love. So whatever it is that you are unwilling to give up, that is your God. So what was this rich young man's God? His wealth. That is what he was putting his trust in to save him. So, in other words, Jesus here calls out the rich young man for thinking that he was keeping the Ten Commandments when in reality he was failing on commandment number one. You shall have no other gods. His God was his money. For the rich young man, that was the thing in which he trusted, not just his own actions, but his wealth, status, position, power. And of course, by relying on those things, who is he putting his trust and fear in? Himself. So if you were going to do anything to inherit eternal life, if you could do anything to inherit eternal life, it would mean having to give up everything, whatever it is that you trust and rely on. And of course, if you think that you are going to do everything for yourself to inherit eternal life, then what or who are you relying on the most? Yourself. There is nothing we can do to inherit eternal life to make ourselves worthy of eternal life. Think of sin as being a vast chasm that separates you from your eternal life with God. Your good actions in keeping the Ten Commandments are the bricks that you use to try to build a bridge across this chasm. But what happens if you try to build a bridge starting from one side across a wide, deep chasm? There is nothing to support it. Ultimately, all your good works are bricks you are throwing into this chasm for no purpose. The chasm is deep, so there is no amount of good works that you can throw in there to get across. You can do nothing for your eternal life. That is the final answer that the law gives to this question of what I must do to inherit eternal life. There's nothing I can do. So then there is one last question we must ask. What has already been done? And the thing with the law answer is, this is 100% correct. The only way to be righteous in God's eyes is through perfectly keeping his law in thoughts, words, and deeds from birth to death, from conception to death. But we cannot do that. It is impossible for us. Only one person has ever truly kept the law perfectly in thoughts, words, and deeds, and that is Jesus. Jesus was born without sin. Jesus kept the law perfectly from birth. He never hated. Even his enemies he loved. Jesus never coveted. He gave of himself freely. Jesus never lusted. He showed self-sacrificial love to all of those who came to him in need of his healing and help. Not only did Jesus keep the commandments, but he did it for you, on your behalf. He did what you could not. He did what the rich young man could never have done on his own. He kept the law, and his keeping of the law counts for you. It counts against your balance with God. Jesus did the impossible once by keeping the law perfectly. He did it again when he paid the full penalty of that sin under the law on your behalf. The wages of sin is death, Paul says. A sinless sacrifice is necessary to pay for sin. And under the old sacrificial system, that could not work because there was no such thing as a pure, perfect, sinless sacrifice. And yet, Jesus was that sacrifice. Jesus died a sinless death, not for his own sin, but for yours. If he were just a human being, he would only have been able to atone for a single person's sins by his death, but as fully God, as God himself, his death is enough, not for a single person's sins, but for the whole world, more than sufficient for all the sins of the world. So you no longer are held accountable eternally for your sins. Jesus has paid the price for you. So the answer to the young man's question is actually very simple. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There is nothing on this earth that you can do or must do to inherit eternal life. It is a free gift that you receive purely because of God's grace. How incredible that is. You cannot do it yourself. God does it all for you. The rich young man wasn't ready to hear that answer when he spoke to Jesus that first time. But I think he did eventually. You see, according to tradition, this young man's name was John Mark, the writer of our gospel today. He may have left disheartened that time, but Jesus' words acted on him to change his heart and bring him back to Jesus. So eventually he did do something more than just believe to write the script, to write our gospel. So then, what about you? You have heard that message. You have heard the promise. You have received and believed Jesus' assurance that the debt is paid and you have been freed. Your eternal life is secure, not because of anything you do, but because of what Jesus has already done for you. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.